Blog Talk Radio.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like my father's come to pass, 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends.
Welcome to Sunday night edition of BAMS Radio, on the air again with another scintillating breakdown of the Crimson Tide as they play yet another cupcake.
Yummy cupcakes,
absolutely. Welcome to the show, Thomas. We got Thomas and the Bird this evening. Thomas Rock Watts. And did it look any different to you up in the press booth than it looked to me over in the blazing ball of hydrogen zone that I was stuck in? My God, it was hot.
Well, I have to say, my view was probably a lot better just because I was sitting next to several Florida Atlantic writers. And they missed the boat on the you can't cheer thing, which, for people that don't know, if you're in a press box, according to Football Writers Association of America rules, you're not allowed to cheer. It's a working zone, which is awkward. But anyway, they were cheering throughout. So I just started tweeting whenever they clapped about something. They had about 6 claps throughout the entire game, and they were clapping for such mediocre things as a 5-yard gain or a two-yard stop. So it was very interesting for me. It was funny. I started making fun of them.
Well, having grown up in Memphis, Tennessee, and going to many, many Memphis State games, I can completely empathize with the FAU sports writers, because a 2-yard gain was a big deal. You know, if you didn't have a loss, that was a big deal.
I do understand. I do sympathize. You're one of the worst teams, and the FBS, you're a couple of recruiting classes away from legitimate competition, even at their level. But, you know, rules are rules. But, you know, whatever. All in all, it was the same game. Florida Atlantic could do absolutely nothing, and Alabama could have named the score.
Do you think that it was almost like watching a mother tiger toy with its prey? I mean, it was the mouse was already dead. But the mother tiger was basically kind of just batting it around, you know, playing with it before it ate it. I mean, that's the way it looked to me. Complete domination on both sides of the ball. I really thought the D was going to pitch a shutout until we got to our fifth stringers. But it was fun to watch, you know, whenever the FAU guys were driving for a score against the fifth string. The other four strings were on the sideline waving towels and cheering and definitely in the grill of the guys that were on the field, and it was really kind of cute and fun to watch. I don't know if cute's a word, but the coaches were hooping and hollering, and definitely the rest of the team was supporting them, and pretty neat stuff. I have to agree with Saban and the way he's putting things on the field. I might have not left AJ out as long as he had, but he may have been working on some things that we don't know about, because next week, cupcake season's behind us. We no longer have chocolate and vanilla. We get some SEC tasties.
Yeah, I do have to give a shout-out to the fans that were still in the stadium. Even though there were probably only 60,000 folks by the time FAU started driving, that stadium got loud to the point where I couldn't hear the guy next to me as we were talking about the game. That was excellent. And I do understand Nick Saban getting the 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty to a certain extent, because it was a foul, but really?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's that kiss me on both cheeks. I mean, I hate it when referees do that. I really do. It's like, really? I mean, are you going to throw the flag for that? Come on. Yeah. And I don't think it was a badly officiated game at all. Now, you didn't get the chance to see the LSU-Auburn game, did you?
I was driving back from the game to Mobile, and I listened to it on radio, but listening to the call,
oh,
yeah.
Man, you have to wonder how much cash referees walk away with. Oh, God, that would never happen in the SEC, where somebody could bribe a referee to turn their head or throw a flag at a ill-conceived time during a football game. But there was so many of them in that game that we got to sit out and actually watch the game in the tailgate. You just sit there and scratch your head and say, well, I've heard of home cooking. This is a whole different level with Auburn and LSU. But you know what? Let's continue on Alabama, FAU. Let's not start kicking the dog until later in the show, because actually I'm going to kick both dogs, because that was a terrible game to watch. At least if you're an Alabama fan, there was some entertainment. If you were either an LSU fan or an Auburn fan, it was a exercise in mediocrity for an entire evening.
Well, at least it wasn't Notre Dame, Michigan, where Denard Robinson completed more passes to Manti Te'o than to any of his receivers through three quarters. But anyway, back to FAU, Alabama.
Oh, we're scathing. I mean, there was so much football this weekend that you scratch your head over. You and I chatted before the show, and I'm going to repeat what you said. And I agree with you 100%, my friend. Bottom line is that what we saw yesterday was what you expect from Alabama. No one expected Oklahoma to pop the little turd bubble that they did. Colorado won a game. One of the worst teams ever jumps up and wins. Oregon State goes to UCLA. I would have never picked that game in a million years. So there was just a whole lot of that going on. But let's go ahead and, again, I keep getting distracted. Let's run through the offense, defense, special teams. Let's give some grades to these guys. We've got a caller on hold. Caller, stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We're going to run through this real quick, and we'll stick you on BAMS in just a moment, because I want to get your input on the game as well. Thomas offense, how did you grade them?
I gave them a B. I gave them a B simply because of the lofty heights, of the lofty expectations they had in the red zone. A lot of times moving into the red zone, they gained a lot of yards, 500-something, but they didn't convert as many touchdowns as you would like to see, particularly against a team of this caliber. So I gave them a B, but at the same time, bright spots. If Kenyon Drake can figure out blocking, just the blocking schemes on blitzes, blitz pickup, and protections, he's going to be pushing T.J. Yeldon, who's going to be pushing Eddie Lacy. But before I go any further, Eddie Lacy is about to explode. I mean, he is, from when I said 2 weeks ago, he looks like he's running kind of
one
slow.
Step. Yeah, you said he's one step slow 2 weeks ago.
And ever since then, apparently he heard me on BAMS, or someone told him through the ether that I was talking bad about him, because he's run like his hair's on fire.
Yeah.
He is going to blow up some SEC defenses.
All these running backs have been blowing people up. It was fun to watch. It was fun to watch D. Hart. I'm with you on Kenyon Drake. Again, I'm going to use the term that I used for Eddie, or not Eddie, but TJ earlier in the season. What you've got is a man and a boy's, or a boy in a man's body. I mean, this guy is just a gifted athlete. So fun to watch. And you know what? I gave them a little better than a B. I think that they're working on things, Thomas, that are like in scrimmages and practices. They held the throttle back. The one thing that I was kind of discouraged about was Christian Jones has got to hang on to the ball, man. You know, his little fumbleitis, he's got to get over that and get over it quickly.
The two turnovers were – or the one turnover, excuse me, the other fumble was almost lost. That's maybe the one blemish I'll give the game overall. I can't really chew on the red zone thing too much.
Nah. Again, I'm thinking that there were things that the coaching staff was focusing on that perhaps you and I were not privy to. You know, Nick occasionally will give you a call and sort of give you the insider poop, but I don't think for this game he felt the need to. Now, of course, with Ole Miss, I know he's probably going to call you and give you, sort of a layout.
Absolutely. Sure.
Go ahead.
Having attended his post-game news conference for this last game was one of the worst news conferences I've ever attended. He took like three questions and shot out of the room.
Yeah.
So he had something he had to take care of.
You know, my grandson asked me, this is classic, and took my five-year-old to the game. He says, why is Coach Saban always upset?
That's awesome.
From the mouths of babes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, defense. Let's talk about our D.
A.
Yeah.
Maybe A minus because they didn't get any takeaways, but A. Florida Atlantic had 32 total yards until, 4 minutes into the fourth quarter five true freshmen and the third string took the field.
Walk-ons and the true freshmen are on the field. Yep.
So, you can't argue that.
Yeah.
Everyone was pumping up FSU before this Clemson game. It's such a great defense, and then they give up 31 points and a bunch of yards to the Clemson offense.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed either.
So, you kind of, even though Alabama statistically is not number one in all categories yet, probably the best overall defense in the country based on statistics right now.
Yeah. And again, I'm by the end of the year, this may go down. And again, this is one of these bird predictions. So y'all write it down. I'm going to get out my spray can. I really think that we will consider these guys maybe one of the best defenses ever to field at Alabama. I really do. Junkyard dog mean. You're right. We didn't get the turnovers this game that we have in the previous games. And I know that they're coaching that, so we'll see. But I gave them an A as well. I thought that it was a stellar job. Again, they acted like they could have they were toying with these guys.
Let me go back to offense real quick because there's something that I wanted to say, and it flew out of my mind when we were talking. Want to give a major prop to Doug Nussmeier for this game. Alabama absolutely killed. I mean, the first touchdown was a crossing pattern that broke.
Right.
FAU's short to intermediate pass defense was functionally non-existent. At least half of A.J. McCarron's yards came from run 5 yards forward, cross, because nobody was covering the middle. And that, from a defensive standpoint, I'm sure Carl Pelini was ready to eat his headset because it's so frustrating.
Yep.
But Nussmeier saw it, and Alabama kept doing it, and FAU never stopped it.
And basically what we did is we took advantage of what they gave us, which is the mark of both a great offense and a great defense. So,
absolutely. I just had to backtrack because that was a big thing. A lot of press people were tweeting, oh, another crossing pattern for 20 yards. Ho-hum, that's number 6. And that's just crazy. That shouldn't happen. Alabama's defense has never allowed that to happen. The last team to even try it was Arkansas, and Dre Kirkpatrick de-cleated Joe Adams for his time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's going to be interesting next week. You know, again, with the Ole Miss game, we'll get a better idea of what we're all about. All right, let's move on to special teams. I thought they played a good game, except for the lost fumble by Christian. The rest of the team did good. Cade Foster, 2 for 2 on long ones. Jesse blocks a field goal, which was pretty cool, pumped up the team. D. Hart looked good returning punts, but the one big flaw was Christian Jones on the punt return with a fumble.
Jones's fumble keeps the entire unit from getting an A. I'll give him a B-plus range just because of the fumble. If you pull Christian Jones's performance out of that grade, absolutely A-plus, gold stars across the board. A bunch of field goals, long, short, intermediate, all of them good. Cade Foster knocks the ball out of the end zone consistently. Punting the one time we did was a good punt. And the field goal block. Nothing to complain about, save that fumble. And I don't know if D. Hart is going to take Christian Jones's job as a returner, but I don't think there'd be much of a drop off, if any.
I think he's quicker. I think he's harder to tackle because of his size. He's impressing me with his ability to run after they wrap him up. All the running backs are that way, but D is just blazingly quick. And what I'm waiting to see is some Javier Arenas shake and bake from D Hart. I think he's got it in him. I think that can happen. But that's the one thing I haven't seen. It's just that sort of natural, intuitive, I know where the other guy is on the field, and I'm going to make him miss me type thing.
The common term that when Javier Arenas played at Alabama amongst my friends is Javier Arenas is simply made of magic. He needs to lend some of that magic to Christian Jones or D. Hart.
Yeah, and I'm waiting for that. As far as the physical tools, though, I was looking for D to take this position last year, the job of the either kick returner or punt returner. And with the way they've toyed with the kick rules on the kickoffs this year, they've almost taken that portion of the game away. You just are not going to see a whole lot of touchdowns from kick returns. But what you will see is punt returns are still as exciting as they always were. And I think D Hart, I am hoping, is going to be our guy. I think Christian is way too valuable as a receiver. Not to say that D is not valuable, but my gosh, we've got three guys in front of him. And Christian is really, really becoming one of the true go-to guys on this team. So it may be, you know, let's not stick him out there as fodder for the cannon, so to speak, on the punt returns, and let's let D do that. You know what, let's take a real quick break. It's about 8:16. We had a caller. They decided to fall asleep, and if they want to come back, we'll get you on. Almost done because I want to talk coaching and overall, but let's take a listen. You are listening to the Sunday night edition of BAMS Radio, our little recap with Rock Watts and the Bird.
Now listen. This just makes it perfect. This just makes it perfect. We're behind. They're all fired up. We got class. We're going to find it out. We got class, and I know we got it. Now what we got to do? First place, our defense has got to go out there and take the ball. Our defense hasn't been taking the ball. Then when we get the ball, we got to have 11 people. 11 people that's just going to do their job, whatever it is. It's going to do their job and try to score every time you get the football. If we do that, we'll be all right. The offensive team that started, the same team started on offense that started, except stable quarterback. Okay, can we get together? All we need is just somebody that wants to do some leadership out there. Now we go. Come on in. Everybody's a leader.
The Bear. Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall during one of his halftime talks? Heck, I'd love to be the fly on the wall during one of Nick Saban's halftime talks. Well, anyway, we have got I'm going to give the coaching staff an A. I agree with Thomas. I think that the substitutions, they did a great job. Somebody made a comment. Do you have the actual stat, Thomas, on how many guys played yesterday?
I have read 69.
I heard 73. So, you know what? Let's put it this way. Most of the team played. If you dressed out, you were pretty much on the field yesterday during the game.
Oh, absolutely. It was. I'm amazed the cheerleaders and the nacho guy didn't come in.
Yeah. And I just thought they looked good. I think this team earned their stripes, earned their number one ranking, and is absolutely one of the best teams in America. And what we're going to do now is put our caller on live with us. And let me hit the
magic
button. Hey, man, Roll Tide.
How are you guys doing?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm still tired from yesterday, King. My butt is dragging. You know, as you know, you and I sat around after the game, watched that LSU game. And, man, I want to get your input because I respect your opinion as much as any football person out there that I know. Were you less than enthused?
I enjoyed it. I mean, the game day experience at Alabama is something I look forward to. Me and my wife look forward to it. And like you say, we got to meet a lot of people. Got to meet Thomas's parents, and I had a little one-on-one time with his mother, and she kind of told me a few things about Thomas coming up that Yeah, I'll share with you later, Bird. But anyway, but his dad confirmed that he is a walking Alabama football encyclopedia, and I'm glad to know him. I think he does a pretty good job. But listen, guys, I had the best seats I've ever had in the lower part of the stadium, and I fought the sun for 2 hours, and it was tough. But I'll tell you what I got to see. I got to see Drake plant that foot, running wide open, threw his weight to the left into a spin, missing the shoulder pads by 2 inches, and then lunging. He saw the end, he saw his head turn. I want that. And he did what it took to fake that guy's jock off and snap his ankles and got around it. Yeah, you're right, Thomas. He needs to work on his blocking because, I mean, he's young. But, you know, he's got to get that game experience before he's becoming more well-rounded. But I think he's going to be special. He's incredibly quick, changes fields. But to go from that amount of speed to stopping is just – that just caught my eye. And the way the line, when we were backed up deep in our in the first half, we were backed up pretty deep. And just to see the size and the enormity, it's incredible in the execution. But I wanted to shut out. That would have been nice. I'm glad everybody got to play. I wish Lester could have got an interception. That would have helped our numbers a little bit because I like the way we play defense. And Kirby, like I say, he worked in a lot of kids. It's absolutely amazing. Because I feel like in recruiting, the first thing people want to talk about at Alabama is, oh, you're not going to get to play for a couple of years. Yep, that may be true, but what it appears now, it's like a farm team. You're going to get to play, you're going to get out here, and he's proven to these young recruits, you come here and you've got what it takes, you're going to get on the field and play. You're going to do something. And I'm proud of it. I didn't see any glitches with the support of Coach Saban at the game. I didn't note any. I'm going to watch the replay and see if I can pick any, but it looks like they've got him covered pretty good right now. But I do want to say this. Thank you, Bird, for another great tailgate. The food was good. The drink was good. Got to meet a lot of great people, a lot of great people coming by. But if I like to tell any of our listeners, if you're at a game, come by. We'll love on you. Hope you don't mind getting hugged. we got a good crew over there. And old Mojo came, brought his wife, his family come by. It was good to see them. We're like adopting Mojo's kids there because they're both in school there. So anyway, y'all keep it rolling, sounding great, and roll tight, guys.
Don't jump off yet. I've got a question for you, for both of you guys.
Okay.
One of the things I noticed yesterday, guys, was that the yards after what do they call it? Not catch, but yards after contact. That every time one of our running backs would get hit, they would pick
they
up.
They took them with them.
Yeah, two or three, and
they
that
went
was
with
every single kid: D. Hart, Eddie Lacy, Kenyon Drake, T.J. Every single one of those guys, anytime they'd get touched or hit, even with two or three dudes, they would pull them forward, power forward. And, I was amazed. I don't care how good, bad, or ugly, if you've got two or three people, bodies, hanging on you, okay, that just proves, number one, it's a huge comment to Scott Cochran and what he's doing. It's a huge commentary and a plus for Burton Burns, who I think is one of the unsung heroes of Alabama football.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The running back coach down there. But, I'm impressed. I mean, it's not that we've just got one great running back. Every single one
styles.
Of these guys. Yes.
We got three styles of running back. Lacy, he's got two moves. It's running through your butt, or I'm going to do a spin move. That's
right.
It.
Right.
But I saw him take a linebacker, number 54. This guy got picked up, carried through the air, and fell in front of Mr. Lacy, and he got to stomp his chest in as he went on for four or five more yards. So it's brutal at the point of attack. I feel like Lacy always ran high. He always ran high. To me, he's got a little bit more lean about him now, and that's a bad thing for a defender, especially a defensive back. But with Yeldon, he's a different style for me. He's not herky-jerky. He's very smooth and fluid. Everything he does, it seems very deliberate. And when he makes his mind up, that's where he's going. He's got it. And those are that's the intangibles that Saban finds, I think, in all of our athletes, not just running back. He finds those intangibles that these kids are just great athletes, and we've got a slew. We should be very proud. I miss Jalston Fowler. I really do. And I hope he's having a good recovery. But I think what he's got set up is I think any coach in America would be proud to have that kind of speed and size.
Well, it's fun to watch how the coaching staff has brewed their old alchemy of personalities and style. And you're right, King. It's like you've got four complete different styles of runners out there. I try to compare them to guys from the NFL. I've got one that's an Eric Dickerson, one that's an Emmitt Smith, one that's an Earl Campbell, and one that's one that's a Deuce, you know, is a Palmer type guy. It's fun to watch what they can do, what they do with them, and I guess goes back to what Thomas was saying earlier in the show. That big kudos to Nussmeier. I mean, this guy. Here's my question. Another question.
What we're doing is vanilla, Thomas. What we do is plain Jane. We're not doing anything fancy yet. Do you think we're showing any cards?
No.
No, absolutely not. I mean,
we're
like
playing,
I said,
run it off tackle, run it off guard, right?
Yes, sir.
Playing
basically. I mean, like I said, this past game was they have no short to intermediate pass defense. Let's run crossing patterns until they stop it. They never did. Alabama went up by 30. That's no better way to explain it than that.
Well, I guess what really impressed me again, and is for us to watch in the ensuing weeks as our season, the panoply of this drama of football unfolds in front of us. You know
getting
what?
Crazy bird.
Yeah.
Getting crazy.
It's like Robert said, you out there, you way out there, Birdman. But what I'm thinking, man, is that it's fun to watch these kids run the ball. I could almost not see a pass play because I am enjoying watching the O-line work. I'm watching these guys hit these holes, and I'm watching this alchemy, this chemistry of all these different running backs come out and be absolutely successful. It is a joy to watch. And teams that can run the ball win championships. Defense and running the ball, ask Brother Bryant up in heaven, Coach Bear Bryant, if you can run the ball, you're going to win your games.
Well, you know,
well,
you mentioned.
Hey, that's what it's all about. Hey, I got to say this, and I'm going to get off. I just want to get my little 2 cents worth
yes,
in. Arkansas, we want your card back.
Yeah, losing to Rutgers, man. I'm about ready to pull LSU and Auburn too, though. And here, right after the next break, I'm ready to get out the lumber and have some fun with those two.
Well, I'm gonna say my little piece about that. It won't take but 1 second. I'm not scared. Roll Tide, y'all. Love you. Bye.
King Crimson, one of the better callers on BAMS, actually one of the better callers on all sports radio here in the great state of Alabama. Thomas, that was fun yesterday. You know what was fun for me is to be able to take my grandson to a game and be mellow enough during a game that I can come on the radio the next night and have not blown out vocal cords because I sat there and screamed like an idiot through the whole game and behave in front of my grandson and him enjoy some of it and ask questions through the whole game and bop, bop, what's this and what are they doing now? And, you know, it's just it was a proud time for me. And then halfway through the third quarter, Thomas, grandson looked at me and said, "Bop, bop, I want to go play football out in the field again." And I said, "You know what, son? Let's go play football in the field." And that has to warm your heart. But anyway, good stuff. And do you have anything else on FAU? Because I'm ready to break off because we got lots more to talk about after our break.
Well, I do have one little addendum to the running back discussion you and King had. Derrick Henry running back out of Yulee, Florida, leaning towards Alabama, had an official visit this past weekend. His stats from his Thursday game, it was Thursday or Friday, but anyway.
Friday.
502 yards.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Single reset the Florida. This is Florida high school football. This is not Timbuktu high school football. Reset the Florida high school rushing record, single game rushing record.
And how many TDs? It was some disgusting amount, like 7 TDs or something like that.
Yeah, I don't even remember the touchdown number. I'm too busy marveling at 500 yards. And realize on his football team, Yulee, Florida, the Yulee team, it's Derrick Henry and the 21 other dwarves.
Yeah.
It's him and almost nothing else. So.
And they're keying on him, basically. It's like, we're going to stop Henry. If Henry can't beat us by himself, and he proved the other night, yes, he can.
But anyway, I just wanted to get the running back you going again. We can definitely have that debate. Is Alabama the new running back you at some point? But not on this show, not this time.
Not tonight, not tonight. Well, you know what? I'm going to send us back to the 60s. We're going to take a real quick break, and we will be right back with a Sunday night edition of BAM's Recap.
Radio, banned on multiple web forums for using the screen name Chizik Sucks Big Hairy Moose. BAMS Radio.
Oh, welcome back to BAMS Radio, your pirate station for Alabama football.
Yar, speak like a pirate.
It's that's past us, man. That's old news. All right, I played that Chizik drop on purpose. You know, everybody thought that LSU was going to go into the Plains and absolutely blow out Auburn. And who was the one naysayer?
It was you.
Yep.
I'll give you credit for that.
Yep. I jumped up and I said, I really think Auburn's going to stand up down there. I didn't expect them to win. LSU was supposedly, Thomas, a supremely, much more supremely talented team. But I think Auburn has been chastised, castigated, castrated. I'm trying to come up with another derogatory C word. But, in all reality, I felt like their manhood had been challenged. You know, when Van Gorder, Dr. Mustache, threw out Mr. Bolt out of the defense meeting the other day, I thought, well, the staff is growing some cojones, and they basically are going to step up. But, and here's the big but. Let's look at Metzenberger. You didn't get to see the game, and this is where I would love to have some of the callers call in. Where the phone lines are open, 714-510-3707. Give us a call because I got to watch most of the LSU game out in the BAMS tent with the Shelby County alumni guys, and I got to tell you, Thomas. I was less than impressed with either offense or either defense. We know Kyle Frazier is a charade, okay? He's a total charade. That would be charade if you want to say it in English.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch the game, but I did get to listen to the radio call. And it to me, just listening to it, it just sounded like 22 chickens with their heads cut off running around on the field doing next to nothing, because I picked it up basically at halftime. Am I completely off base with that thought?
No. It looked like it was boring. Okay, first thing I'll say is it was a terrible way to spend a Saturday night. We had more fun flipping back and forth between the Clemson-FSU game. At least there was, you know, some creative play calling, and there was some offense, and, you know, and you mentioned earlier the against FSU's vaunted defense, Clemson pretty much had their way with them. I mean, you know, had it not been for just a fairly miraculous turnaround at the end of the game, I really thought Clemson had that one in hand, was going to win that game. But talk about just lackluster, poor play calling, poor performance on both teams' part. And, you know, you can chalk it up to LSU's gone up to the Tiger Stadium, or whatever they call it, Pat Dye Field, or whatever the name.
Jordan Herr Stadium.
Jordan Herr. And had their hands full every time they play up there. So, I mean, number one, there's some sort of onus over LSU playing Auburn at Auburn. But my heavens, you know, they had been anointed number one preseason. They had been stuffed up our ears, you know, the past two or three weeks at number two. I think they were exposed last night. I mean, they did not look sharp. They did not look prepared. They did not look well coached. Their phalanx of running backs that they supposedly had really were mediocre at best. Mettenberger. And Danny, I know you're not listening tonight, but my friend Danny Sheridan down in Mobile, Alabama, you have been on this kid's bandwagon since back at the SEC media days. And I got to tell you, Danny, this kid is not ready for prime time. Bad decisions. Now, he does have physical tools. I'll give you that. The young man has got a gun for an arm, and he can sling the ball a country mile. But when it comes time to using the old bean up on your shoulders, he just doesn't have it, Thomas. He was not impressive at all, play calling. And I thought that the calls they were sending in and the plays themselves, LSU had these guys in decent field position on a fourth and maybe half a yard, maybe a foot. I mean, they were so close. And I thought, well, if you're ever going to go for a first down on a fourth, this would be when, you know, the – whatever they call him, the Mad Hatter, would pull out the Mad Hat. No, he jumps back and punts. And I thought, where's the Les Miles I've come to know and love? I mean, he was just, here, let's get out the book. Let's read the book. This is what you're supposed to do as a coach. And talk about plain vanilla, man.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because Kevin Skarbinski's article in the Press Register, the Mobile Press Register this morning, just excoriated Gene Chizik for not taking any chances. He was so afraid to lose the game that he never went for it on fourth down, even when Cody Parkey is a good field goal kicker. So there's definitely on both sides.
It was both sides, yeah. I you know what? I don't know why we're even discussing Chizik and play calling, because I think he's a boob, and I thought he was a boob, you know, for the past two or three years. And the genius of Auburn, in case anybody doesn't get it, is sitting at Arkansas State right now. Okay, the guy that was the genius behind Auburn football has left the building. Elvis has left the building, Auburn. He's sitting up in Jonesboro, Arkansas, running the Red Wolves program. So yeah, I didn't get to read Scarb's thing this morning. I was out riding my motorcycle early. But, yeah, it sounds like he and I are of the same mindset. It was just a dull game. I mean, it was just dull and poorly played. Poorly played, poorly coached, poorly performed, poorly prepared. C- and a D+ at best on the grade out. You know, whereas Alabama came in at right at an A, you know, A- maybe, but I mean, seriously, they graded out pretty daggum close to an A. Both of those teams, and like King says, I'm not worried.
And that's the big thing. Even I think it was the New Orleans Times Picayune ran a story that's the title was something along the lines of, LSU wins, but their aura of invincibility is shattered.
Shattered.
This game could pay massive dividends for LSU's opponents. There's a certain aura that came with playing LSU and still comes with playing Alabama. It's something that you have to get out of your players' heads, but it's really hard to do. It's the, oh, crap, we're playing a team of monsters, and what the hell are we going to do? That's totally gone for LSU. They came into Auburn. Auburn fought them tooth and nail the whole way. And remember, however ultra-talented Auburn is based on recruiting rankings, this is still a 1-3 team that was maybe two plays away from being 0-4.
Right.
So let's take a step back before we say Auburn is the best 1-3 team in the country. Congratulations, you just suck less than half the country, but whatever.
Who says that?
I've had a few Auburn fans tweet me and text me that, and I've kind of put my head in my hands and say back, congratulations.
Has the pot crop come in early this year?
I don't know.
It sounds like somebody's smoking some wacky tobacco out there, because there's no way anyone in their right mind could sit and feel halfway complacent or pleased about the orange and blue clown fest that we've got down on the plains right now.
Absolutely.
The giant dumpster fire that, by the way, they had on TV the other night. I don't know if you saw, of course you didn't see it, but the conflagration that was burning behind the stadium. There was this giant fire, and I don't know if they had a bonfire or something, but I made a comment to one of my buddies in the tent as we were watching the game. I said, there you go. There's their dumpster fire. So
yeah. Well, you know, the thing about LSU, it's going to pay dividends, particularly on October the 6th. LSU has to go to Florida to play in the Swamp. And I know Jordan-Hare Stadium is a, you know, hostile environment, and it's a rivalry game, but where Auburn has taken their talent and thrown it into said dumpster fire, Florida has started to really put it together. That second half against Tennessee was a major turning point after a second half against Texas A&M, which was another major turning point for Florida. The Florida-LSU game goes from, oh, you know, Florida will make a good showing of it, but LSU will beat them, too.
No.
Florida now, I think, will be favored in that game.
I think Florida beats them by 10 to 14 points.
Well, and that's interesting, because if Florida does that, you have Florida basically on a collision course with Georgia.
Yeah.
Even though Connor Shaw looked good yesterday against Missouri, I don't buy South Carolina. And if you want to have some history that has very little bearing, but it's kind of fun to kick around, Alabama's never not played Florida in the SEC championship game. And Florida's never not played Alabama. So, you know, this is shaping up to be a very interesting season if history is going to repeat itself.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm very impressed with what Muschamp is doing. I'm very impressed with that Florida squad. I think that those guys are for real, man. And the Florida-Georgia game may be one of the better games all year. It may be the best SEC game this year. I was saying LSU-Alabama. I'm going to have a called shot. I'm going to go all Babe Ruth on you, Rock. I think we're going to go down there and monkey stomp them. I was so unimpressed with what I saw. They didn't look like they were in shape. They didn't look like they were prepared. They didn't look like they were, like their heads were ready. It was just a combination of things. They barely got out of that game with their lives, period.
And it's what jumped out to me, and this is just me listening to the radio and reading Twitter feeds, Zach Mettenberger barely completes half his passes, and he's had a turnover problem in the red zone. There is one place you do not want to turn the ball over. The red zone. You want to talk about a momentum killer and a momentum giver to the opposing team? That's the way to do it. And the last thing you want to do against an Alabama is give them momentum and take the crowd out of a game, which that's what LSU is going to have to ride against Alabama as it stands right now.
Yeah.
It'll be
a good game. I think it's going to be a good game, but again, I don't think it's going to be a close game. I think that from what if I can, you, it's hard because, you know, LSU may bounce back next week and play a quality opponent and just completely thump them on the noggin. But if I had to judge, you know, their previous opponents and who they played up to this game, and then how they played against Auburn, who really is not a good team. I'm going to repeat that until I'm blue in the face. These guys are really, they showed an Achilles heel. I mean, Achilles absolutely can be killed.
Oh, well, absolutely. Before the game, before LSU laid an egg in Jordan-Hare, Alabama would have been a four-point favorite if they played Saturday. I think that went up to about a touchdown favorite, and that's pretty scary to think about this LSU this talent-level LSU team at home at night. That's crazy. You know, if you told me that 2 months ago, I'd have looked at you and been like, all right, lay off the carcinogens because you are insane. But
yeah,
that's how it stands.
Is LSU the East Coast version or the SEC version of USC?
I mean, I think I they don't have an offense to be that.
Well, it's I'm there's no Matt Barkley running the helm back there. And speaking of Pac-10, you know, let's go ahead and use that as a segue over to the Pac-10. Some pretty good football played out there this weekend. I guess the big surprise for me was Oregon State just absolutely killing UCLA in the Rose Bowl. I mean, my mouth kind of dropped open. I didn't see the game. I watched the Oregon game the other night and enjoyed some of it. Arizona, if they could have gotten, you know, I'm going to get on my knees right now and look up at the sky. And, Thomas, I'm in the studio right now with my hands clasped, looking at the Lord and saying, thank you, Lord, for Mrs. Rich Rod hiking her leg on Alabama. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What a bonehead. And, again, you probably weren't home soon enough to see any of that game. Poorly called, and I had to lay it right at Bonehead's feet. I mean, Arizona had an opportunity to beat Oregon. That went right on the coach's lap, man. I mean, not good. Let's talk about Michigan and Notre Dame. You alluded to it earlier. Let's give that a sniff.
Do I have to?
Oh, man. Well, you know Notre Dame is going to be the BCS buster, and Notre Dame is going to be the next darling because Florida State was exposed. I mean, their vaunted defense was just Swiss cheesed. It had so many holes in it. Sammy made them look silly. And for a top two or three defense, FSU did not look like a top two or three defense, period. End of story.
I will say this before I get into my Notre Dame-Michigan breakdown. Should Alabama stub its toe somewhere and lose, and instead of going to the national championship game, probably landing in the Sugar Bowl, I would liquidate every asset I have and bet everything that Alabama will just annihilate Notre Dame if they played. Notre Dame has a suspect offense. They have a great defense.
I think they have a good defense. I don't think it's great. I think and playing in the league that they're playing in and the teams they play against, we'll never know unless they play somebody like Alabama. And I think we'd expose them. But keep going.
Well, I mean, they play Oklahoma later on in the year, which will be a good game.
Okay, Oklahoma lost at home to K-State.
I realize.
Poop goes the weasel. I mean, yesterday was the big poopy day for so many schools.
This is true. The best approximation of what Alabama would do to Notre Dame will be when Notre Dame plays Stanford later on in the year. But I'll break that game down when it comes around. I'm upset with Michigan. I'm upset with Michigan because that should have been a strength of schedule boon for Alabama.
Yep.
And Denard Robinson suddenly realized that the guys in golden domes are who are supposed to catch his passes. It was awful. I could get the game on radio. I changed the channel. I did. I was just like, no, this is a waste of my time. Notre Dame is abusing Denard Robinson because Alabama showed everybody how to contain Denard.
Yep.
And Brian Kelly is an angry, angry individual. That's what I pulled from that game.
You
and he will yank a quarterback in a heartbeat. If I was Tommy Reese and Everett Golson, I'm not sure I would be able to play as well, realizing that I have to look over my shoulder, and if I make too many mistakes, I'm getting benched.
and the other guys coming in.
Do you think
that's just not a healthy way?
That he needs more fiber in his diet, perhaps.
I don't know what Brian Kelly needs. I think
you know, if you don't take a big satisfying poop every day, it makes you a mean person. Plus, you have bad breath, and it may be that he needs more fiber in his diet.
I don't know. I don't understand how he can be so angry. I mean, it's Notre Dame is 4-0. They would be leading the Big Ten, which is kind of a joke of a conference this year, I realize, if they were in it. So what's the big deal? He's got a top what are they in the AP poll? 11? Are they 10 now? It's a top 10 team. All he's going to hear now, all his recruits, all the guys he's recruiting in here, is how Notre Dame is back and how you should go to Notre Dame and play for everything. And they just go to the ACCs and they'll have ACC tie-ins to play against SEC teams. Everything's going for him, but he's still so angry.
Fiber.
Fair enough.
More fiber. Let's see. Who else was a surprise from the weekend? Georgia, a little bit. I mean, as lopsided a victory as that was, and again, I'll use the maybe they're for real. I mean, maybe this is the year that Georgia, you know, steps up and plays to their true, because they always have potential. I mean, they're a little bit like Auburn in that Mark Richt can absolutely recruit some of the best of the best. But is this the year that Georgia's for real? But they've got a gauntlet. Let's face it. SEC East is a lot tougher than the SEC West. I think there's Alabama and then everybody else. There are three teams, and really Tennessee is fairly competitive, but you've got three teams that are genuine. It's going to be a buzzsaw when the three of those guys actually get through the round robin of each other. I have no idea who's going to walk out the victor because they're all three talented. And I disagree with you a little bit about on the SC, USC. The Cox have got a guy on that team that is not fair. Jadeveon Clowney requires two or three offensive players to sort of contain him. And that allows everybody else to do wonderfully magical stuff. The guy is just a beast.
The Vanderbilt left tackle contained him. That's his black mark for the season so far.
Yeah.
But, yes, Jadeveon Clowney has insane upside, and if he can get going, he's nasty. But we'll see. The SEC West has been such a massive disappointment to me that I can't even give it high marks. It is interesting you mentioned USC because we get to see LSU versus South Carolina at some point this year. So that'll be an excellent game.
I hate to say it. I don't hold my breath for LSU. I mean, either there's more parity in the SEC West. And here's the other one. I think Mississippi State's unbeaten, aren't they?
They are. They're number 21 or 22 this week.
How probable is it that Mississippi State could roll into Bryant-Denny Stadium undefeated?
Probable. They have to get past, I think, LSU. I have to look at their schedule, and I don't have the SEC schedules put up. But they'll be, at worst, a one- or two-loss team when they come to Bryant-Denny this year.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that they move way up in the polls. I hope that they you know, that they have all the success on the planet and they move way up in the polls so that our strength of schedule gets beefed up because everybody else right now is sucking the hind titty, as Grandma used to say.
But not Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky has been impressive. They go out, they beat Kentucky last week, and then they just crush Southern Miss this past Saturday.
Dude, Western that defense Kentucky, is awesome. They were fun.
Western Kentucky, you could legitimately make an argument, is the hardest team Alabama has – like the hardest, the best team Alabama has played so far. And that is ridiculous to think about, but it's the truth.
Well, it's Western Kentucky was probably one of the most entertaining games I've seen by anybody play against Alabama. I mean, I love their little defense because they said, you're not going to run on us, and we didn't. It was a fairly mediocre performance by both the offensive line as well as the running backs. And, you know, what they gave us was the pass, and we took it, and, you know, touchdown Alabama. But Western Kentucky, yeah, it was fun. Can we trade Western Kentucky for Auburn?
No, we can't do that. It'd be interesting, though.
Can we trade Clemson for Auburn? Because they have the sort of the same colors. I mean, it's kind of an orangey school, you know.
treat it like soccer leagues. If you're terrible, you get dropped into a lower classification and someone worth a rip comes up.
Well, that's kind of what I'm doing. I mean, but and Brian Flowers, by the way, in the chat room tonight, guys, for the listeners, I don't know if you're in the chat room or not, but Brian is absolutely on fire, funny as hell. One of his comments earlier this evening was talking about moral victories down on the plains, and he said he felt like that they probably rolled Toomer's corners, rolled the trees after that 12-10 loss because it was a moral victory. That's funny. Laugh.
I it's true. You know, he's preaching in the chat room like I preach on the radio. So
he's funny. He's absolutely bringing the lumber tonight. Well, let's see. Who else do we have over the weekend? Pros I could give a crap about. Are the Steelers playing, or did they play today?
Steelers blew a lead late to the Raiders.
Oh.
That Janikowski beat them. Oh.
My good friend Coach Mojo is going to be very happy. He lives for the silver and black. So, congrats, Coach Mojo. You know, hell, half of our club is down. I mean, we've got all of our studs are out. So, with the Steelers, it's not a good year. It's a tough year.
The Steelers defense, sans Troy Polamalu and James Harrison, is really a shell of itself anyway.
That's exactly right. And both of those guys are hurt. So it's such is life.
Oh, well, you still have Alabama to love.
I always say, well, I still love the Steelers. I'd be in the stands. I don't care if they're 0-14 or whatever as they play in the NFL. If I was up there, same with Alabama. When we went those terrible 6 years, I didn't care. You know, that one game against Duke where I knew and I had supported Shula, you know, oh, we went 10-3 or whatever the year before that was. And then when we played the worst team in the country, Duke, and they stood us up through a half, I said, he's got to go. He has just got to go. This is an embarrassment. But I was there. I was there with all 45,000 other fans. So
have a few more showing up now. Good problem to have.
Well, that's the fair weather people. I give them credit, though. People are staying better than they used to. It didn't matter what the score was. By end of the third quarter, the stadium would start to empty out. And that's not the case anymore. They're hanging in pretty much to the end of the game. And this is against Cupcakes. So, you know, shout out to the Alabama fans. Good on you. And if we do make the national championship game, or for whatever reason we show up and decide to lay an egg, do not leave the stadium or be near me and leave the stadium, because the bird will shat upon your forehead.
It's an interesting mental image.
Yeah, isn't it? But it's just I don't take to that too well. Well, we've got 3 minutes left on the show, my friend. Wednesday night, I'm going to try to have Paul Tripoli on, who was a player for Bear Bryant in his last game. Great Bear Bryant stories. We will have an interesting breakdown for Ole Miss, trying to get one of the Ole Miss media on with us so they can break down Ole Miss. And I think this is going to be an interesting game. So it'll be one of those shows that BAM should be entertaining, if nothing else. Investiture of your time this coming Wednesday night. Thomas?
Absolutely. Looking ahead, something else we'll do Wednesday. I'm going to lament a little about how horrendous the schedule is throughout the nation. When ESPN sends game day to East Lansing for Michigan State, Ohio State, that's a problem, because the Big Ten has one AQ victory if you take out Northwestern's three. So obviously a very weak, it's a terrible word, in college football, but we'll have your Ole Miss breakdown. Derrick Henry should be committing at some point this week, so we'll have a breakdown on him. I'll probably really look at some film if I can find it on him and say what he's good at and where he'll fit in. And we'll have Legend Island, which is always crazy and always fun.
Legend was off the hook last week. It was a fun show. Well, that just about wraps up our post-game wrap-up. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We enjoy doing it because it makes us sit down and kind of actually have to scratch our heads and come up with something intriguing maybe that you didn't see. Please call us during the show, because it if there's stuff that we didn't say, guess what? We're just fans, just like you. There ain't nothing special about BAMS other than the fact that we're just on the air talking about it, but we'd love to hear from you as well. Big roll tide to the Alabama fans, hung in real well this week. Great time at the tailgate, great time. To, you know, it was fun to see Thomas and Mom and Dad, all the people that came by, Delta Dawn, her husband, CD Tide, Mojo, Coach Mojo, King Crimson, Big Head Chuck, Heather, her mama. I mean, just on and on and on and on the list goes. We probably had 40 or 50 people stop in and say hi to us, so it's always fun at the BAMS tailgate. Unfortunately, the Bird will not be tailgating this weekend, but we'll talk about that because I'm going to be on the super secret Michigan mission over to Georgia to watch basically Georgia play Tennessee in Athens, which should be an interesting game. But good stuff. And as always, Thomas, you brought the lumber tonight. You are listening to BAMS Radio. You got anything for us?
Blip, AG, and the Bird.
Miss Click. No, not really. Just a roll tide. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. And see everybody Wednesday.
Very aware, sir. It bears a proud name, doesn't it, Mr. Cobb? Very proud, sir. It represents fine people. Very fine people.
Fine people, sir.
You live in a fine, outstanding state. Outstanding. In the greatest country.